Always enjoy Miss Linda singing. Amen. Well, it is good to have Mark with us, Brother Brown with us tonight. Mark Brown with us tonight. Went to school with Brother Brown. Again, he's a cousin of Brother Wiggins. Enjoyed his fellowship and friendship. And he's preached here before. It's been 2 or 3 years ago. And I was teasing about his kids. But Lord has a plan for their life. We want to pray for them. But Brother Mark's been such encouragement to me during the rough times around here. He's been one of the guys that I've just really enjoyed hanging out with and having spiritual fun with, as well as laughing a lot with. And his father-in-law is hilarious. Miss Tracy's dad, which is Brother Gene Stokes. And one of the funniest men I know and that I've ever met. And a faithful pastor, too. For 30 years, he pastored that church in Century, Florida. And so, anyway. But it seems like a lot here lately. We've had some guys up here to speak. Last Wednesday night, Brother Glenn Fogg was with us, starting the church in Sanger. He wrote us such a great thank you note afterwards. When he called me on the phone and said he's going to come that night, I said, I want to preach, but I could tell by his voice there was something he needed some encouragement. And you guys were such an encouragement to them. They needed a lift. So the Lord had a reason for that. And then Brother Treadwell Sunday night, I know, and then tonight, with Josh and everything else going on today, I feel like Brother Brown ought to come and speak to us. And he'll give us a little ditty. Come on.
I don't sing and dance.
No. Brother Wiggins.
I don't do that, amen. I leave that up to him. He's got all the talent and the hair, amen. Amen. Well, it's, your claim to fame is who you're kin to, I guess, sometimes, amen. Kin to Brother Michael Wiggins, and I don't know if Brother Michael ever told y'all this or not, but we're also kin to Clyde Barrow. Bonnie and Clyde, that's right. Yeah, my mother was a Barrow. It was her maiden name, so don't mess with me too much. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of Ezra. We had the opportunity this morning to preach in chapel out at Crown Southwest. And we preached from the book of Ezra in chapel this morning. This is a different message, but I did bootleg just a little bit of this message in chapel today, but a different message. We've been building a building, and so a lot of my thought process has been on buildings. I've been thinking a lot about the books of Ezra, Nehemiah especially, and making some application. I've been reading them and just gleaning some things from the books of Ezra and Nehemiah as we've gone through the building project. Everybody warned me about building projects, that kind of thing. But honestly, things have gone fairly smooth as far as the church itself is concerned. We've had a lot of weather issues. This thing's right in my forehead, amen. Hey, you're taller than me, aren't you? But we've had a lot of rain. I mean, we're a month behind. But I think when I preached here last, we were struggling with the insurance company and different things. But God is blessed, and we got a great victory there, and started building, and probably have been a little bit annoying to Brother Eric this week because my youth pastor there at the church continues to give me updates with pictures on his phone, and he sends them to me on my phone, and so I'm like, look what they're doing now, look what they're doing now. They're setting the trusses this week, and so the landscape has changed just in the couple of days that we've been here quite a bit, and so we're anxious to get back and see what all's been done. But I say all that to say this, I've been studying a lot about building in the book of Ezra, and I want you to find your place in the book of Ezra, and I want to just give you a few thoughts tonight that I hope will be an encouragement and a help to you. We won't be very long, but just something that God gave me as I was reading in this passage of Scripture. Again, we mentioned this kind of in passing a little bit in the chapel service this morning, but in Ezra chapter 3 and verse number 8, I want you to notice what the Bible says here. If you'll remember in the book of Ezra, God's people before the book of Ezra had been in captivity. They went originally into captivity because of their sin to Babylon. And for 70 years they were in captivity. And if you remember your Bible history a little bit, Medo-Persia came in, conquered Babylon, and took power. And Cyrus, king of Persia, God stirred his heart. And he made a proclamation that God's people could go back and begin rebuilding the house of God that had been destroyed at the hand of Babylon. And so they began, the remnant of God's people began to go back to Jerusalem and began the process of rebuilding the house of God. And not only rebuilding the house of God, the physical structure, but a restoration of God's people, a revival, if you will. So there was a return and there was a restoring, there was a rebuilding and there was a reviving that was going on in the early chapters here of the book of Ezra. And so that's kind of what's taking place. They've just come back and they're excited about the prospect of rebuilding the house of God, and they've been delivered out of exile, and so that certainly is encouraging to them. They've been in captivity for 70 years in a strange land, and now they're back in though it's in ruins still, they're back in Jerusalem, and they're excited about building. The first thing they did is to build the altar, and that's a very important principle. Don't neglect the importance of the altar in your life. Don't neglect the altar in your home. Don't neglect the altar in the house of God. I'm thankful, in my church at least, we still use the old-fashioned altar, amen. I think that's where you get business done with God, amen. It was at an old-fashioned altar where God convicted me of sin, and I got saved. It was at an old-fashioned altar where God began to deal with me about the ministry, and thank God for the altar. And so they began to rebuild the altar, but then as the altar was rebuilt and God's people were being restored, the Bible says in verse number 8 of Ezra chapter 3, "Now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, began Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua the son of Josadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward." Now watch this next phrase, "to set forward the work of the house of the Lord." You know what's exciting to me? Here's God's people, and God stirred the heart of Cyrus, and he made a proclamation that they would go back and rebuild the house of God. Well, watch this now. They assembled themselves, and they had rebuilt the altar and began to offer sacrifice there, but now it was time to go to work. The Bible says they set forward the work for the house of God. Think about that statement for just a moment and continue reading. "Then stood," verse 9, "Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah together, to set forward the workmen in the house of God. The sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priest in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord." Boy, watch this next phrase. "Because He is good." We serve a mighty good God tonight, amen. He is good. We could stop right there, and we will have said enough for us to go out of those doors excited tonight. Regardless of what our what we face in life, God is good. Now watch this next phrase. The Bible there says, "For His mercy endureth forever toward Israel." And all the people shouted with a great shout, and they praised the Lord. Why? Well, they praised Him because we are already told that He is good, that His mercy endureth forever. But then we're also told, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. I want to give you just a few simple thoughts tonight. We're not going to be long, but I want to give you some thoughts tonight on this simple thought, the importance of foundations. The importance of foundations. They praise the Lord. Why? Because the foundation of the house of God was laid. And I tell you what, we've been building this building, and we literally, a few weeks back, stood there and watched them pour the foundation. And I tell you what, it thrilled my heart. It thrilled my soul. And God began to deal with me about this subject of foundations. and we'll look at it for just a few moments after a word of prayer. Pray with me, if you will. Father, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for the privilege that's ours to be again in your house. I do thank you for Brother Eric and the friendship that we've had these many years, Lord, and just the encouragement that he and his family has been to me and my family. And Lord, the testimony of this church, Lord, we've prayed often for this church and know that they've prayed for us. And Lord, we just count that a blessing. And thank you so much, Lord, for the bond that we can have, though there's many miles that separate us. Lord, there's a bond in Jesus Christ that we can have together, and we thank you so much for that. We thank you for the privilege that's ours tonight to gather in your house, and Lord, just to look into your Word tonight. Lord, we don't take that lightly. We don't take that for granted. Lord, I thank you for the privilege, and I thank you, Lord, for just this opportunity to stand in this pulpit. Guide us now for these next few moments. Open our hearts to receive your word upon good ground tonight. And Lord, I pray that each one would receive the word of God, but also respond to the word of God as you'd have us respond. Guide us, direct us, and we'll be careful to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to notice a couple of phrases. First and foremost, we're talking about the fact that they're building the house of God, and it's time now to lay the foundation for the house of God. The Bible says that they're setting forward the work for the house of God. They're setting forward the workers. You know what? You can talk about building a building till you're blue in the face, but you're never going to move forward. You're never going to set forward the work until you have some foundations laid. Amen? We can talk about that in a building sense. We can talk about that in our spiritual lives as well. You know, I believe a lot of people are faltering today in their spiritual walk with the Lord. I think they've began trying to go forward in the work of God without the proper foundation set in their spiritual life. So I want to give you some thoughts tonight real quickly. Again, some of the guys that were out at the chapel are going to get a little bit of a rerun, not a message rerun, but just a couple of thoughts real quickly. Now watch this. I was thinking about foundations, and we were out there at the church, and many of you may remember, I know Brother Eric had been praying for our church. Our roof collapsed, completely collapsed on our sanctuary almost 3 years ago. It was June of 07 when the roof on our sanctuary completely collapsed. And we had a dispute with the insurance company over whether there was coverage or not. And then once their arm got twisted by the arbitrator that said, yes, there is coverage, then there began a dispute over the amount of coverage. And then there was a dispute over whether it should be repaired or rebuilt. It was just unbelievable. So long story short, we have been without our sanctuary for almost 3 years. And so, I tell you what, I've gotten excited over watching just, you know, moving dirt around. Amen. They started moving dirt around and everything, and I was like, ooh, look at this. Ooh, hey, look at that. Watch this. Watch them. Boy, they brought in some, y'all know what crush and run is. Y'all know what what crush and run is? There's a technical term for it, but they, in Georgia, they call it crush and run. It's rock is all it is. It's crushed up rock. And they brought some of that stuff in there, and they were pressing it down, and man, and you began to see they were leveling the ground and all that stuff. Boy, I started getting excited. And then they came to me and they said, okay, we're going to be out here Monday morning. We're going to set the batter boards. Boy, I can't wait for that, man. And then they set those batter boards and they put that string out there. Then they started digging the footing. Man, I really started getting excited. Then they set the forms. Then a couple of weeks ago, here come the trucks. They started pouring the concrete. And the guys was out there working that concrete. And I got looking out there and I thought, man, look at this. It's starting to take shape. I want to give you three real quick thoughts tonight on the importance of foundation structurally. Structurally, and there's probably some more, but there's three that I'm going to give you tonight. Think about this tonight, and then we'll make a spiritual application. We'll be done. Number one, as far as a structural application is concerned, and a structural building and a structural foundation, I found this out, that the foundation determines the size of the building. me and my youth pastor walked out there and we began to look and I said, you see that? This was when it was a trench out there, the footing was dug. I said, you can see how big the building's going to be. See where they've marked those stakes and they've put those lines up? You can see the size of the building. You know what? Watch this now. As far as a building is concerned, it can grow no larger than what the foundation will allow. You can't, I said in chapel, I think this morning, you can't build a 5,000 square foot building on a 2,000 square foot foundation. The foundation determines the size of the building. You say, what does that have to do with me? There are some foundations that ought to be in our life we'll talk about in just a few moments, but watch this now. You're never going to grow spiritually beyond the foundation that you set in your life. It's so important that we get into the Word of God. It's so important that we stay in the house of God. It's so important that we saturate ourselves with the things of God. Why? I want to have the potential spiritually to grow to a Christ-like status. You say, oh, that's a pretty high endeavor. Well, we ought to all strive to continue growing. Amen. When we ever get to the place in our life where we think, well, you know what? I've arrived. That's it. We're in trouble. And so we need to allow for growth. And so it's important. Watch this. Learn the book. You know what else I think is very important in our spiritual lives and foundations in our lives? Is our associations. Oh, now that's for the young people. No, that's for us. You know, I found out we like to preach a lot of things to the teenagers that we're not willing to do ourselves. The foundation helps determine the size of the building. Something else I found out. The foundation helps determine the shape of the building. Well, we'd get out there on that slab and we'd say, okay, here's where it's going to come out right here, and then here's where it's going to turn and go down, and then this is where the baptistry is going to be, and this is over here is where the sound booth is, and you could begin to see the building taking shape once the foundation was laid. Long as they was moving dirt, you could see the general location, but people just scratching their head. I literally had people after the foundation was poured come out there and say, oh, okay. I mean, we have plans up all over the church. We're in a gym right now, and worshiping in the gym, and thank God for it, amen. And we've got plans, and drawings on the back table, and people look at it. Couldn't figure it out. But as soon as they saw the foundation, okay. Foundation helps determine not only the size, but the shape. Now watch this. It's the foundations in your life. It's the foundations in your home. It's the foundations in the church that are going to shape us. What is it that's going to make us and mold us and shape us? And we understand it's the Lord. But what's He going to use? He's going to use those things that we have put into our life that make us and mold us and shape us and conform us into the image of Christ. Or maybe the foundations in our life are not what they ought to be and we're more shaped like the world. Or more shaped like what we want to be instead of what God wants us to be. You see, I think it's very important that we set the proper foundation. You say, what are the proper foundations? The Word of God, the house of God, the things of God, love for others. Sets proper foundations. Helps determine the size. It helps determine the shape. It helps determine the strength. You cannot build on a weak foundation. Can't build on a weak foundation. Now, what's it going to take? And I'll illustrate that with this thought tonight, and I'll be through. Now, watch this. You go over there to the Gospels, and Jesus was speaking, and He began to speak on a subject that probably every one of us knows about. He began to speak about these two men. Two men, the Bible says, went out and they were going to build a house. You remember the story. One man, the Bible says, built on the rock. One man built on the sand. The Bible says that the storms came and the floods, and you remember the story. The one who built on the rock, his house stood. It withstood the flood. It withstood the water. But the man who built his house on the sand, his house fell. And the Bible says, and great was the fall of it. You know what's sad? But Eric, you can identify with this as a pastor. What's sad is to see houses fall. And I'm not talking about physical structures right now. I'm talking about the phone calls we get. Pastor, could you come and talk to my son? Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do. This has happened. Somewhere along the way, the foundation was not what it ought to have been. And when the floods came and the winds blew and the rains came, great was the fall of it. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. How can you lose something, amen, that you didn't merit yourself? He did it for you, amen. We understand that. But I'm talking about people who, I'm talking about good people. What's the difference? You know, when I used to read that, I used to picture this in my mind. I used to picture these two guys going out here to these lots side by side in a situation, but one of them had a rocky, hard soil and the other one was on sand, and they just happened to be across the street from each other. So I began to think about that. I thought, you know what? Both of them, at first glance, was sandy. But this guy over here recognized the danger of building on the sand, and he had to dig down to get to the bedrock. He took the time and he took the energy and he took the effort to dig deep where there was bedrock underneath the surface. This guy was impatient. This guy said, now watch this, oh, that's good enough. And while this guy was out here digging, this guy was setting the foundation. While this guy was over here sweating and toiling, this guy's house was being framed. And he looked over there probably and thought, man, what's he going to do? Now, there's a lot of people that look at us tonight and they don't understand why we do what we do. It takes some time and it takes some energy and it takes some effort to put some proper foundations in our lives and in the lives of our children. To have a church that has a proper foundation. People look and they say, oh, look what you could have. Look what you could have. If you'd quit digging, all y'all want to do over here is just dig deep. Look what we've got. And as the passerby goes by, he looks, and which one looks more impressive? But then the floods come. Now watch this. Two guys, both guys built a house. The difference in them was one dug deep and got to the right foundation. The other one said, well, that's good enough. You know what will get you faster than anything in your spiritual life? Good enough. Yeah. I say this a lot to my people, and I'll give you this one too. The Bible says, moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found, what? Faithful. You know what I found out a long time ago? There's no such thing as kind of faithful. You know what we sometimes think? Well, you know what, as long as I'm kind of faithful, it'll be okay. Kind of faithful in my attendance. Kind of faithful in my giving. Kind of faithful in my prayer life. Kind of faithful in my Bible study. As long as I'm kind of faithful, that's good enough. But I'm going to challenge your thinking just a little bit. Gentlemen, I want you to go up to your wife and say to her, I love you. And I want you to know that this entire month, I have been kind of faithful to you. And see if it flies. She will real quick remind you, there's no such thing as kind of faithful. And you know what? There's no such thing in God's service as kind of faithful. Kind of faithful is a weak foundation. Now here it is, and I'm done. The importance of foundation. Structurally, they determine the size, they determine the shape, and they determine the strength. And I believe spiritually as well, our foundations determine size, shape, and strength. Message tonight is very simply this: dig deep. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, thank You for the day You've given us. Thank You for the love that You have for us. I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have to serve You tonight. Bless now this time in Jesus' name. Amen.